Continuing with our shows on Canadian disclosure, we have Victor Vigiani on the line from Toronto. And Victor was one of the promoters of that really mind-boggling and news-breaking conference they had in September up in Canada about disclosure. So we thought we would talk to Victor today about what is new. And there are quite a few things, aren't there, Victor? Welcome to the show. I mean, there are a lot of things to talk about here.
Yes, we...
As far as disclosure, right?
Yes, the waves are coming fast and furiously, Gary. We've struck a nerve, I guess, is the idea behind what I'm trying to say. We've managed to if for listeners that haven't really been plugged into the whole situation, we've managed to get a hold of Paul Hellyer, the former Minister of Defense here in Canada back from 1963 to 67 in the Lester B. Pearson government. And he created quite a stir at our last conference, September 25th, and he came forward to talk about his experiences and the kinds of things that he saw come across his desk as Defense Minister. And then following that, he made a massive disclosure that after he had read the book by Philip J. Corso, The Day After Roswell, he was a little amazed and almost in disbelief because of what he was hearing and reading in the book. So he, through a family member, made a connection to a United States Air Force retired general who Paul Hellyer called, and subsequently was told by this Air Force general that everything in the Roswell book written by Philip J. Corso was true and more, which led him to be even more motivated to come forward to talk to the press and to the general public about the idea of disclosure.
You know, you're going to change governments up there. We don't know exactly how much. No confidence vote. And so I guess after, January 23rd, you'll have a new makeup in the House of Commons.
Yeah, it's the way government works here. It's the parliamentary system, Jerry, and we have, three parties, the Conservatives and the Liberals, who have always been the two traditional parties, and then the New Democratic Party and the Quebec, the Bloc Québécois. What we need, we have approximately 300 seats, and when the seats go up for grabs in an election, if the government comes up with a majority of seats, which that means a majority out totaling the other three parties, then they can run the government as a majority government. But if they do not come up with a majority government, they have to rely on one or two of the other parties to prop them up in order to gain their votes for specific legislation. So we've been in a what's called a minority situation for the past 18 months, and with the NDP propping the government up and making sure the government didn't fold as quickly as it might have. So
I guess what brought this to a head was the Conservatives want a Star Wars initiative for Canada. Is that right?
Well, they're pretty hard on that one. Yeah, they don't make too many qualms with the fact that they want to, if they were to assume power as the government here in Canada, they would probably align themselves with a philosophy that would support the idea of having some sort of a weaponization of space, which we are totally opposed to in the exopolitical movement up here in Canada.
Now, was it the Honorable Paul Hellyer or someone else that made a statement to the press that this was a way to make war on extraterrestrials? I mean, I read that somewhere.
That was Paul Hellyer.
Yeah.
The context of that comment, Jerry, was that how can I rephrase this as correctly as I can, exactly as I can? What he did say was that the Bush government has been developing weapons or some sort of system of weapons in space that could, in effect, take care of any intercontinental ballistic missiles that were launched from the planet towards the United States, in addition to the fact that these weapons could also be pointed outwards to potentially shoot down or attack extraterrestrial vehicles which may be visiting the planet and inadvertently start some sort of intergalactic conflict that's something we just don't need, because the Bush government has no idea, or at least we feel they don't have any kind of contact or understanding of what these extraterrestrials really are. So their philosophy is shoot first and ask questions, and which is a very unfortunate thing when we're talking about extraterrestrial civilizations who mean us no harm.
You know, the Bush administration has violated the peace initiatives for space. They declared near space, the distance from the moon to the earth, to be U.S. military territory, which kind of was shocking in my opinion.
Yeah, that is probably one of the most unprecedented moves by any unprecedented unilateral move by any government, a planetary government, since I guess the Roman Empire, declaring that they can seize whatever territory they want just by saying the word without even having to physically conquer it themselves. The United States has done this unilaterally, and there is absolutely no reason in the world why any intergalactic group of civilizations should recognize that kind of statement by the United States government, because as far as we are concerned here in Canada, the United States does not have the right to do that. And space is free and open territory, as are the seas here on the planet, within certain distances, as also is the moon. It was agreed that no military installations or claims of territory would be taking place on the moon as a satellite of the Earth. So the United States literally has no right to do this, and that's why we're challenging and bringing this forward through the exopolitical initiative here in Canada, that this thing has to be talked about in our election, and we're trying to make overtures to the four party leaders here up in Canada to talk about the weaponization of space in addition to the breaking of the treaty by the United States.
So I'm not exactly sure how Canadian politics works, but I assume that really the campaigning won't begin till right after Christmas.
Yes, it will. The January 23rd election date will definitely consume the Christmas period. Now, whether they will take a bit of a hiatus just before or just after Christmas, you know, the Christmas time and the New Year's, that's unclear. They probably will do a little bit of a backing off during the early part of the Christmas break and just after.
Mm-hmm.
They are going full tilt right now, Jerry, with all kinds of issues here. Healthcare, daycare for children. Our healthcare system here is being inundated by privatization and different kinds of ideas as to how each party will want to handle health care.
Yeah, the conservative movement is sweeping the world as far as privatization.
Yeah, so...
And that's too bad, in my opinion.
All of the issues that are coming forward during the election, and it's almost like we're sitting at a poker table with each leader being taking turns as the dealer, throwing money out at certain situations, saying, when I get to the power, if you vote me in, we will all allocate certain billions of dollars to daycare, to health care, to education, to national security, to this, that, and the other thing. And it's up to the public to sort all of this information out. And it's just coming rapid fire. And the fact of the matter is, the weaponization of space issue is not coming to the forefront, and that's something we would like to address.
Well, what do you think the chances are to get that into the forefront? I know Paul Heyer talked to the Senate, I guess he requested a hearing.
That's right.
And it didn't happen, but I guess it might happen next year. The Senate is not elected there. It's appointed.
Correct, yeah. The word, the Senate here in Canada is an appointed body. We have the House of Parliament where we elect our members of Parliament, which is very similar to your congressional situation there in the States. And also the Senate, your senators are elected. Here in Canada, once the political powers that be are elected, be it a minority government or whatever, they have the constitutional authority to appoint senators in the House in the Senate chambers. Now, the Senate chambers, they ratify all of the legislation that's passed through the Parliament. They don't have the power to initiate legislation necessarily, but they look at and ratify all of the legislation that comes forward to them from the members of the House of Commons. So they look at things very, very seriously. They call it the sober second look and make sure that everything, all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. So it's not the same kind of thing. But they do have quite a bit of power, if not authority, to look at legislation and send it back to the House for revision if they feel it's necessary. So it is a way for us to vet a lot of legislation.
So you actually have a little preview. Our general election, the off-year election, doesn't happen until November of 2006, but by the end of January, we'll know how it stacks up in Canada. You know, you started something when you had this this symposium and on disclosure that spread throughout the world, and we've talked about that before. Here in the U.S., I think you're lining up allies as well.
Yes, as a matter of fact, Jerry, the number of people that have come on side with this, just in terms of media, Jerry, I have received telephone calls quite literally from Los Angeles, been interviewed on programs from Los Angeles. We had a very interesting television interview the day before yesterday from RTVI, a European television network that's operating out of New York, and they came to our location here and did some filming and an interviewing of myself in terms of this whole issue, and they report they have over 50 million viewers in Europe alone, the Ukraine, Russia, Africa, and Europe itself. So the fact that these people are interested in our symposium and what Paul Hellyer said and the whole extraterrestrial issue means that this stuff is just, it's spreading like wildfire, Jerry, and we're very enthusiastic about it because at San Antonio Radio, for example, I did an interview with a fellow named Charles Wigglesworth in San Antonio, Texas last week, and he read something from the press release that we had submitted, Alfred Weber submitted last week. And he read the press release over the radio on a Friday afternoon, and he had more telephone calls as a regard to that that press release than he'd had the past 2 weeks. And then he called me, and we did a subsequent interview and wanted to explain the whole position of Exopolitics Canada here. And to be quite honest with you, he knew very little about the UFO extraterrestrial issue. He just thought it was something that was just sort of a fantasy hobby of some people who wanted to look at bright lights in the sky, and that was it. But we had to bring up the speed really quickly in telling him that the extraterrestrial issue was a real, authentic issue that the planet has to deal with. And we went on from there in the interview to describe all of the aspects of...
Well, I think that's one of the things you and myself and many of our listeners were on top of this issue and have been. But the general public, really, they know very little about it.
You know, that's one of the things, Jerry, that I have been since the very beginning of this, when I got involved in it back in 1975, and as your listeners may or may not know, I'm an educator. My background is in teaching and education in the public school system here in Canada, and I've spent 35 years in the Toronto School Board system, and being a teacher, education and the dissemination of knowledge is my business, and that's one of the things that I did, and I know that I did well. And when I moved into this, into the whole ufological community, my first impression of what needed to happen was an educational process. There was lots of data being collected, lots of information, and reports being digested, and so on and so forth. But very, very little, if any, education of the public about the issue and making people understand or allowing people to investigate what was going on and really understand what the core issues of the extraterrestrial matter really is. So that's been my real goal in all of this, to educate people and to purvey the knowledge and to make sure that people understand what the issues are. And we're gradually getting better and better at it.
And you are getting, as you mentioned, good media coverage, not only from Canada now, but from other places as well. I noticed even an Iranian TV report the other day.
And I should add, too, to your listeners, Jerry, thanks to you in housing the Paul Hellyer speech on your website, being the host for that, the number of people that are actually calling me and asking me where they can hear the Paul Hellyer speech, we direct them to your site, and you are good enough and magnanimous enough to house that speech and being the host for it on your website. And that alone, Jerry, is half the battle, allowing people to hear Mr. Hellyer talk about the things that he talked about at the symposium in a free and open, clear manner. Your website and your dedication to this has to be appreciated.
Well, we appreciate the nice words, and it's our pleasure. Really, when we talk about disclosure, I'm thinking of extraterrestrial presence more than anything else, I guess. Whether they've been here, or they're here now, or they're visiting. Anything new?
In terms of?
The disclosure? Anybody else coming forward?
Well, not really at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing, absolutely. We did receive something. I did receive something just yesterday from a source that I trust very, very dearly. It's a source that I've used before, and all of the information that has come forward from this source has always been very reliable. And I received a letter, a JPEG file of a letter from this source. And this letter was written by Major Florence J. Mansman. And he was a United States major back in 1964. And I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Dr. Robert Jacobs, the Air Force photographic expert who did...
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Okay. Basically what happened back in 1964, Dr. Jacobs, who was not a doctor at the time, he was a photographic expert for the United States Air Force, he was tasked with the job of taking live, you know, was taking film of the testing of intercontinental ballistic missiles on the western coast of the United States, just outside of Monterey in California. And what they did was they supplied him with some very exotic photographic equipment, and he moved this up Anderson Mountain at the time, and he set it all up. And one of the afternoons that they were going to film the launch of an intercontinental ballistic missile from the coast out into the Pacific Ocean. So he did this. He set up all the equipment, and he and his crew watched the launch. They saw the ICBM take off. The photographic equipment caught all of the launch, and it was a three-stage powered launch at the time. And he caught the entire launch. So he got the film, brought it back to his commanding officer, Major Mansman, and just deposited and didn't think anything else of it. But a couple of days later, what happened was he was called to Major Mansman's office, and so he dutifully reported to the office and walked in. There was a film projector, 35mm film projector set up, a screen. Major Mansman was there, plus three FBI or CIA agents. He never found out exactly who they were, but he knew that they were from one of the security agents. They were dressed in suits, and Professor Roberts was asked to sit down and watch the film. So they turned the film on, and what happened was, Jerry, this is the astounding part of the story. The film equipment caught the ICBM going up into the air, and around 30,000 feet, you saw the three gimbaled manifolds where the flames are coming out of the bottom of the ICBM, and then into the frame, it was a wide shot, into the frame shot a silver disc, and this disc approached the missile, and you got to realize this missile is moving at 14,000 miles an hour straight up. So this disc came alongside of the missile, shot a beam at the side of the missile, moved down below the three gimbaled outlets, shot a beam up into the missile, and then moved to the other side of the missile, shot another beam at the missile itself, and the missile tumbled in midair, and the disc moved out of the frame. And they saw this, and Major Mansman said, what were you guys doing up there? So Dr. Jacobs said, we didn't do anything. That was nothing that we did. And they said, well, what was that?
Wow.
So Jacobs said, well, it looks to me like we got a UFO here. And at that point, the machinery was turned off. The CIA or FBI agents at the time took the film off the 35mm projector, spooled it back, cut out the portion of the film that showed the disc doing this thing to the intercontinental ballistic missile, took that clip of film, put it in their briefcase, and they said, this meeting never happened, and you shall not talk about this again, and they walked out of their room.
Wow.
So, now, that being the story, which is really incredulous, I mean, it's just an absolute, and we've actually, on our program up here in Toronto, in Strange Days Indeed, we have actually had Dr. Robert Jacobs come on and tell that exact same story, and anyone who wants to check out the archives at Strange Days Indeed by going to program 187 can actually listen to Dr. Jacobs tell the exact same story I just told. Now, the tail end of this story, which is even more fascinating, Jerry, is the letter that I received from my source today was from Major Mansman, and he gave an author his permission to go forward and say that this UFO incident in 1964 happened, and he will attest, now that he is out of the service and retired, that he can attest to the actual authenticity of this event because he witnessed it, and this incident actually happened in real life, in real time. So you get these kinds of things coming forward at you, Jerry, and sometimes you don't know what to do with them. You know, they seem a little bit imposing, but what I call these things, Jerry, are converging lines of evidence.
Hope that other people
if
will
you
come
take a look
forward
at all the different converging lines of evidence and the pieces of data that we have, you put them together and start connecting the dots, you come up with the fact that this extraterrestrial issue, the matter of ETs and ET presence here on the planet, is in fact authentic, and that our government has to look at this. We have no choice but to go forward and examine all of the evidence, regardless of what the implications are.
You know, Victor, when we talk about these things on the air, as you do as well, you always hope that other people will come forward as well.
So actually,
his plea to the Senate more
frequently, because when Paul Hellyer gave his talk and referred to the United States general that he got the cooperation about the Corso book, if we can get this fellow to come forward through Mr. Hellyer, that's another person who can cooperate the evidence. So there seems to be a wave people are starting to come forward who have witnessed these kinds of things, and it seems to be more and more of that happening.
So actually, his plea to the Senate up there, it's kind of equivalent to the House of Lords, I take it.
Very similar, yes.
Do they have regular public hearings, though, right?
The really interesting part of that, Jerry, is that the standing committee on national defense and security, the Senate Committee, the Standing Committee on National Defense and Security, is a very powerful committee, the Senate Committee here in Canada, extremely powerful. They get to review CSIS, the Canadian Intelligence Service, which is the equivalent of the CIA, and they review their operation on a yearly basis. And I was privy to one of the interviews that they had back about a month and a half ago. It was a webcast, and they literally grilled the Minister of Security and Defense here in Canada as to the operation of CSIS here in Canada, the kinds of things that they were doing and not doing, and the degree of transparency that they were offering the Canadian public as to what they are doing. Now, that the application that we made, that the ExoPolitics Toronto and the Institute for Cooperation in Space with Alfred Weber, the application that we made was directly to this Senate Standing Committee on National Defense and Security. And its chairperson, Senator Colin Kenney, received the application, and they said that at the time they did not have at their disposal sufficient time to hear our application and to consider our request for an open hearing.
We are going to be reapplying
to the committee again. In the face of their initial denial, we're going to keep on going with it. We're not going to let them say no. So we've got this number of people that are coming forward.
I think it's very important.
And we've got more and more information. The information is amassing at an amazing rate, Jerry. So they're going to have to listen to us. They're going to have to come forward and examine all of our.
So you don't plan to let up?
Absolutely not. No.
As I mentioned to you before in one of our interviews, I do believe that the disclosure, if it does come about, will probably come about from a country like Canada or Brazil or India.
Well,
I think it's very important when it comes to secrecy of government.
You mentioned that earlier in one of our other interviews.
Yes.
I think that's a very significant point, and the reason I think that it's important is because the strictures here in Canada, both within the government agencies and in the media, are not nearly as compounded by I guess restrictions as they may be in the United States.
Yes, a lot of people don't understand that. They think the United States is the land of the free. Well, now, Victor, when we talk,
I'm not so
sure,
when
it comes to secrecy of government, we probably have more than most.
Your plans and your wishes for
Canada. Operation in the United States.
Are we talking about
when all is said and done, are layered thicker than anyone ever would want to believe. And that
and
the secrecy embargo around the truth of the extraterrestrial issue is probably the most carefully guarded secret in the United States. I can't think of any other issue that's more secretly guarded than the extraterrestrial issue.
Now, Victor, when we talk about your motives and your plans and your wishes for Canada, are we talking about you wanting an official government, for lack of a better term, Department of Disclosure or Office of Disclosure? I mean, public funding, is that what we're talking about?
Actually, that's one of the things that that Alfred Weber and myself have thrown around. The idea of a decade of preparation or a decade of understanding or at least enlightenment or education about the extraterrestrial issue. And if we can get the government to understand that in order for us to go forward with this, we just can't come onto the frontier of open knowledge about this and just let people have it with both barrels and say, you know, extraterrestrials are here, let's deal with it. What we need to do is get this information into our public institutions, through the media, through government, with proper funding, into our libraries, into our universities, into our schools, into our public institutions, to have people understand that there are ethical civilizations in the universe. We populate the universe
with
these
actually,
people. And in order for us to understand what they're
Bush
all about, we have to educate people so that they will not, and first of all, they won't
it's
be in a state of denial about it. Okay, that's the first step. And secondly, we have to have people understand that these
threat.
Are ethical races who have been here for many hundreds, if not thousands of years, visiting the planet. They mean us no harm. And,
I mean, that's kind of the
they,
opinion.
And if they were to do something or even think about it, they would have done it a long time ago, because their powers, their technologies are so far in advance of ours. They could have burned this planet to a cinder long, long ago.
So actually, when the Bush administration, for instance, is pushing the Star Wars, it's not that they know that there's a threat, an alien threat, extraterrestrial threat. It's probably more
and then there's a huge off favored corporations in the military industrial
expenditure, black projects.
You know,
that's kind of the opinion I get.
Security.
You're
absolutely
this
right.
Thing's really
and
gotten
the,
away from
the industries right now that are in production with the tanks and the Air Force jets and all of the technologies that go to serve the war machine of the United States. These people have to be—they have to receive the money for their efforts, and the money that they receive comes directly from the $420 billion budget of the United States.
And then there's a huge off budget expenditure, black projects, and that they hide and they fold into national security. This thing's really gotten away from everybody as far as the spending.
It is. It's just like a wild cat out of a bag. And if people understand the amount of money that's being put into this black hole of a war machinery budget, it's just absolutely phenomenal. I keep on going back to the fact that if the technologies that that the extraterrestrials have would be put into place for peaceful purposes, which we know they could be if disclosure were to occur, 28,000 children a day could be saved. Their lives could be saved, because right now 28,000 children a day are dying of malaria in Africa alone. And if medical technologies were brought up to speed to understand why and how fresh water and proper medical facilities could stop these children and adults from dying of this disease, just malaria alone. But people don't understand that here, because the educational process is not in place for them to know about it. And that's why Alfred Weber and myself and other people who have the interests of the planet at heart, we want to educate people about the issue. And if people are provided with the proper educational foundation will realize that the extraterrestrial issue could be the thing that saves this planet from becoming a wasted cinder due to fossil fuels and war technology.
You know, I would think that real terms, NORAD's kind of a joint Canadian-U.S. effort.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
Maybe get somebody in NORAD in Canada to come forward. Has anybody tried to do that?
That is one avenue that we really have not investigated yet. And the reason we haven't is because NORAD is a joint operation between the United States and Canada. And our understanding is that the person that the high place officers and military authority have a parallel level of authority.
Yeah,
In other words, Canadian and American heads of state, so to speak, of NORAD have equal power.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
Yeah, so it would be very difficult. The thing that we would need to do, I think, Jerry, would be to get at some of the military pilots who have run missions and tracking UFOs and who have the information that they've got at their disposal. So if we can get some of the pilots to come forward, either retired pilots or whatever, that can tell us that NORAD jets, which we know already,
now,
are scrambled on a weekly
in
basis to chase these
circles
things.
Right now,
I think I may have told you.
We talked about them.
We know that these things are being chased. They're being seen on radar, and the jets are being scrambled to go and chase them. So it's just a matter of time before these individuals come forward, just like the general
that
he has access to, and Florence Masman, the major, that is the confidant of Dr. Jacobs. So these people are coming forward, just a matter of time before they muster the courage to say, listen, I need to talk about this, I have something very important to talk about, and here's the goods.
Now, you know, in UFO circles right now, the big hot story is the alien exchange.
Well, what I'm getting at is,
I wonder if any diplomacy is going on. Anybody not exist?
I guess it's just such a tightly held secret.
Nobody really knows. I mean, we've heard
went there and
heard stories since 1954.
I'm not trying to get you to comment on that story one way or the other,
but the one reason I bring it up is an important element in disclosure. I would imagine would be involving not military action, but some sort of diplomacy.
Well, yeah. The idea of diplomacy is the total antithesis of military action against, or that would engage whatever.
Well, what I'm getting at is, I wonder if any diplomacy is going on. I guess it's just such a tightly held secret. Nobody really knows. I mean, we've heard stories since 1954 with Dwight David Eisenhower.
Yeah, I really wish I knew more about that. These stories, stories is not the right word to use. This kind of information comes forward on a fairly regular basis. I recall the one set of information about the incident in Dulce, New Mexico, where apparently there was alien scientists working in a bunker with American scientists on whatever project, and there was some sort of disagreement between the American scientists, the military, and the Greys that were working.
I certainly
and
understand.
Sort of,
of
open fire in this bunker happened, and there was X number
progress.
Of aliens killed, and X number of military
even with the
people
mainstream
killed.
Media,
and you can read about that. All you have to
well
do is look up the, Dulce, New Mexico, and Greys, and you'll see the story. I just don't know what to do with that kind of information, Jerry, to be quite honest with you.
FBI,
it could be urban legend, it could be folklore, it could be anything. And until someone of extremely high credibility comes forward to talk about this kind of thing, as far as I'm concerned, I need to put that in the category of almost disinformation. I can't go forward with that. I can't comment on it. I can't relate any credibility to it. It's just...
Yeah, I certainly understand, and I respect your ideas about that, because you do want... You are making progress even with the mainstream media, as well as political circles.
That's right.
And you don't want to be painted into a corner.
Precisely.
Saying, well, that guy believes that the Greys and the FBI had a fight.
if we were to obtain any kind of briefings with any of our political leaders, let's take, for example, if we did sit down with the Prime Minister of it, or any leader of one of our national political parties, we're not going to talk about the fact there's an exchange program going on with aliens, or the fact that there was a bunker in Dulce, New Mexico, or Area 51. That's not the starting point. The starting point is that there is authentic information, authentic evidence that needs to be looked at in an objective, fair manner about the presence of off-world civilizations, and presenting some of the really, really good, solid, corroborated, definite information that we have. Now, this is not speculation that we have. We have at our disposal lots of definite facts, figures, dates,
Victor,
places.
It seems to me you have a golden opportunity here. This,
prima facie, first-hand witness testimony of things that are going on. Right? And that's the kind of stuff we need to present to our, media and to our political leaders.
Check out the
people. Look, this
running.
Is authentic information. This is not hearsay. It's not potential disinformation. We have people, we have astronauts who are willing to come forward, Mr. Prime Minister, or Mr. Leader of the Opposition, to tell you that they have in fact seen UFOs with their own eyes. They've talked to Houston Control about UFOs they've seen, and they've got it recorded. We have pilots who've seen these things on flight missions. We've got the information. It's as solid as solid information as you'll ever want to obtain. So these are the kinds of things that we have to present to our political
news, not speculation. Yeah, Victor, it seems to me you have a golden opportunity here, this call for a new confidence vote, to maybe check out the people running for the House of Commons and see how they stand.
Well, hopefully one of the things that Alfred Weber and myself will be doing is looking at the possibility of presenting at all candidates' meetings, vote kind of thing. Are you in favor of moving forward with an investigation about the extraterrestrial issue, yes or no? Do you wish to come forward and talk about the weaponization of space as it relates to the potential effect that it could have on ethical, off-world civilizations, yes or no? So it's time for a polling to be taken. And it's time for not only the general public to become educated about the issues, but it's politicians who are basically ignorant about the issues to bring them up to speed and find out what they know about this by forcing their hand. And if they can't say yes or no, well then will you be willing to, or are you willing to, investigate or look at all of the evidence about this extremely important issue? I think people have to be put on the...
We'll be checking to see how it's going.
People that are listening to us.
And do you have any closing comments, something you'd like to bring up?
I don't know how politics works exactly in Canada, but I imagine there's precinct or local meetings.
That's right, riding association meetings for sure.
Yeah, and so maybe people will go ask these questions.
Yeah, in the next several weeks, there'll be what we call all candidates meetings. You probably have those down in the States, too, where all the candidates from each party get together, and you'll go in to ask questions. The media and press will be... Those are the meetings that we wish to, and that we will be attending to come forward and ask these questions and put people, put candidates on the spot and force them to, A, acknowledge that this issue is out there, and then, B, to take a stand on it.
Well, Victor... we'll be checking with you to see how it's going.
Oh, please do.
And do you have any closing comments, something you'd like to bring up we haven't talked about?
Not really. My only hope, Jerry, is that those people that are listening could go to the Institute for Cooperation in Space and go to the website and look at the letter that we have as a proposal to send to our party leaders, all four party leaders. I should be receiving a copy of a letter. Everyone who's listening, if you wish to go to the
site,
thank
you very much,
look
Victor,
at the letter, and read the letter to the printed version offered for you. And there's also a petition that you can sign if you go to that same website. And send letters to our poll. It doesn't matter if you're a Canadian or American listening to this. This is a global issue. We are all citizens of the world. And if our Canadian politicians get even a handful of letters, maybe 20 or 25, hopefully 100 letters, responses, perhaps because of your listeners listening to this, they'll see that this is a potentially important issue that they have to address. So we take small steps. We go a little bit at a time, and we make inroads. And the inroads that we've made thus far, Jerry, thanks to your network down there too, has been significant, and we hope to go further and in more depth.
Well, thank you very much, Victor, and we'll be checking to see how it's going.
Okay.
And we'll be talking to you again soon.
Very much, Jerry.
Okay, thank you.